Coming up on this week's episode of Torqued, we visit the Guardians of the Old Republic, the Jedi Knight, and the Jedi Counselor. Plus, Nikki's got a math segment that's her 12-step preparation guide for hard mode flashpoints and operations. Not to mention, we'll cover the news, the new Q&A, and so much more. All this week on Torqued. Time for Torqued, the Star Wars The Old Republic podcast with unlimited power. My name is Chris, and joining us every single week are our two lovely hosts. Hey there, Nikki.
Hello, Chris.
And hello there, Heather.
Hello there, Chris.
We got a good show coming up. We're going to talk all things Jedi Knight and Jedi Counselor. Or Counselor?
Counselor.
Counselor, yeah. And we'll then also jump into a new segment and a new Q&A. Not to mention, Nikki's going to bust out a little one-on-one math with you guys, so stay tuned for that. Before we get to the news and get to all that good stuff like the mass segment, why don't we talk a little bit about the Jedi Counselor and set them up and see how they fit in the Star Wars Old Republic universe. Heather, take it away.
As a Counselor, you arrive on Tython, you're a Padawan, really strong in the Force, guided by the Force, aiding the Jedi Order, you're healing, knitting everything together. That's kind of the overall theme. You're bringing negotiations and people together. You're offering healing through the Force.
Mm.
And so for the Jedi Counselor, when going in and fitting it into the MMO Trinity, start off is you get all three, depending on how you go advanced class. For a tank, if you are a Jedi Shadow, and properly spec'd, you are capable of tanking, healing if for Sage Advanced class in the Seer spec and DPS. Well, that pretty much leaves everything else. So Shadow or Sage, you can DPS pretty much any way you like. Going into Advanced class variants, of course, Shadow being tank and damage. Essentially what you're looking at is even though you've still got your light armor, but you're going to be tanking away, leading the charge at the front of the battle. Or with Sage, healing spec, you have also have damage over time or burst damage trees. This, of course, going to be in the back more, throwing telekinesis, throwing objects, the rather infamous now barrage of pebbles, and some other interest or reasonably iconic moves. And so, and also going into some slight hybridization with those classes. With the Sage, you can combine healing tree and one of the two damage trees, either damage over time or the burst damage. And of course, then moving into the Shadow, moving in with some of the hybridization, you're looking at more so one of the damage trees and combining it perhaps with your tanking to do to perhaps get a little bit more toughness out of your class. You're finding you're not quite surviving long enough, or perhaps even though you're tanking, you're not quite getting as much offensive punch. Consider mixing some of one of the damage trees into your arsenal, and not only will you be a pretty solid tank, you'll also be very potent in DPS. Moving on to companions.
Yes, on Tython, right away you get Kaizen Vess. He's a melee tank, Transdotion. You need aim for him, but he's very honor-based. He was with your master. He's, you know, overall points in life by kills. Sort of loses them all and then gets attached to you to kind of gain them back throughout the story. You get Theron Cedrex, your medic, also a female romance option, on Nar Shaddaa. Kind of very cunning based. He's kind of very ladies man, weird kind of. I didn't really care for him too much for my romance, although his hologram, Holiday, I wanted her as my companion and I wanted to kick him out the airlock. She has a CC. I'm like, Holiday, come here a moment. Theron, go out to the airlock. There's something I need you to get out there.
Cruel.
Yeah. Range DPS, you have Zenith, He needs cunning. He is a Twi'lek that you acquire on Balmora. Very in the militaristic, kind of more type of brain action going on.
Yeah, okay.
Another female romance option is Lieutenant Aresso, who you get on Hoth. He's very much, he's in the military. You know, he's assigned to you sort of permanently. Stepping back a step to Zenith, he was very much part of a rebellion. So kind of a part of the rebellion helps bring back the power to the political system. And then the new governor president says, yeah, I'm kind of afraid of you wresting power from me. I think you need a permanent loan on that ship. Kind of reminds me of the Twi'lek rebellion rebel on Clone Wars.
Okay.
Where they're kind of worried about, is he going to wrest power from everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Another female melee DPS, Nadia Grell. She is your Padawan. She's with you for a while on the ship before she actually becomes your Padawan. And so you kind of get to know her a little bit before she actually kind of joins your team.
Mm.
And because she's
a Padawan. I love that.
Yeah. And so she's willpower based because she's Jedi Padawan.
Jedi Padawan. Well, yep. Cool. Mm-hmm. Is that everything there in the console?
Well, no, still got some of their equipment to cover.
Oh, okay.
They are, just the quick rundown, they are light armor based, so you're still going to be running around in like your Jedi robes or anything. You're not going to get any heavy battle armor. Will power based as well. And so start off with, that's willpower being your primary stat. That's what you're going to be looking to boost. Unless you are, of course, a tank-specced shadow, in which case you're going to be looking for more endurance. And then for a lot of your gear, again, is going to be based on your advanced class and some of your choices, how you're going to end up specking. So with the Sage, whether you're going to be damage or healer-based, look for power, crit rating, your surge rating on top of boosting your willpower with your gear. And then, of course, moving over to Shadow, you're looking more along the lines of boosting more endurance. You still want that willpower boost, but endurance will then take priority. And from there, you're going to be looking more at your shield rating, your absorption rating, your defense rating, and sort of things for tanks. But if you are a shadow and running that DPS spec, then again, it kind of defaults back to what you would be doing with the Sage. You're looking for again more power, more crit and surge, and just generally to dish out some more of that damage. So it's very much similar to going back to episode 3 with the Sith Inquisitor. They very much run parallel to each other in their general builds, so you can kind of queue off the two of those in their parallels. And then moving on to their iconic moves, just again, as you say, the furious pebble attack, telekinetics,
and waves of power.
And also with Shadow, don't forget, you get some double-bladed lightsaber action going on.
I love that.
Sneak up on people with your stealth action to get that going.
Oh, that's a great combo. Okay. Mm. So that's everything. Now it's time to talk about the Jedi Knight, isn't it, Nikki?
Yep. Yes.
And it's time for the Jedi Knight, the last of our class summaries, and the most iconic of all.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
So, as the Jedi Knight, you start off as a promising young Padawan arriving on Tython, and your goal is to grow, of course, grow into a Jedi Knight, and hopefully you eventually become a Jedi Master.
Yeah, obviously the quintessential kind of Star Wars storyline, you know, you are the Jedi, the going up against the great evil of the galaxy, you are the sword, you know, going out and winning the day.
I like that.
Yep. The ultimate hero from the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, starting fitting the Jedi Knight into the MMO Trinity, you have two roles, the tank and the DPS. The tank, of course, being for Guardians and their defensive spec tree, and DPS is pretty much any other way you can go. So going into elaborate on those advanced classes, starting with the Guardian, with the defense tree, that's your tanking spec. So that's your tanking tree. And then, of course, your other two, with the damage and the shared, they're in, will be your DPS. It's primarily done with swapping lightsaber forms. And now moving on to the other advanced class, the Jedi Sentinel. This is the dual wielder, so two sabers. What you have is strictly DPS. That's going to be running you damage over time with the Watchmen. There's still some burst, but it is primarily with using dots in this case, I believe it's referred to as burns. And also the burst damage tree being combat tree. Again, two different lightsaber forms used for two different things. For the hybridization, I'd say it's more likely to see hybridization for the Guardian because you can spec points into both a tanking and a damage tree. Or one of the other things that I think is really kind of interesting about the way the Guardian works, and also this also kind of applies to Sith Warrior Juggernauts, is the share tree being the balanced lightsaber form, the Shicho form, because it gives you an offensive boost and a defensive boost. That tree in and of itself is also a bit of hybridization, as well as mixing the trees, because it offers that balance just based on the innate abilities of the lightsaber form you're in. And that's also not to say that a Sentinel can't hybridize somewhat as well if you're so inclined, by specking, of course, into the damage over time tree, mixing it with the burst tree. And you can then kind of change things up a little bit. You can also swap lightsaber forms and hybridize from there. Or, of course, you can be focused primarily on tree and be very specialized.
And what hero of the Jedi Order cannot get by? That is companions and compatriots by his side. You start off on Tython, you get a T-701, range tank who needs aim, total R2-D2 homage. In the book, Deceived is Master Zalo's droid, saw the bombing of the Jedi Temple. You'd actually see him in the first cinematic of the game, a little past the halfway point. And I leveled up with a Jedi Knight and when I as my consular. And when I saw him, and I saw him first speak, it was the first droid that I noticed spoke in equations. I wanted to steal him away on my ship. And in my head, he got the voice of Jinx from Space Camp, that old movie. Totally had that voice in my head.
Let's hear the impression. Come on.
Yep. Let's see. T7 plus Jedi equals save the galaxy.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good.
So then you get Kira Carson, a romance option for the guys, who you acquire on Coruscant, your little companion, melee DPS who needs willpower. Total, very complicated romance mystery storyline. There's a lot, her storyline's a lot deeper and very intertwined into the Jedi Knight storyline. And for the guys, a romance option that kind of adds another twist to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And she's kind of your Padawan too, which adds a little bit even more intrigue, especially if you are romancing your Padawan.
Yeah, when you're romancing her and she says, "Yes, master," it kind of tweaks a little bit. You're like, okay then. Sergeant Rusk is a ranged DPS that you get on Hoth who needs aim. He reminds me of like Spock. He's like, "We came through this with only 96% efficiency." And somebody comes back, "Sir, that 4% was my hand." He's like, 4% losses, that's acceptable. It's not exactly a line, but he's very much that kind of mindset.
He doesn't care as long as the job gets done.
Yeah, it's all about percentages and very, very focused. Doc, who's a romance option for the females, is your healer who needs willpower. Acquired at the end of
cunning,
Act 1.
Actually.
Oh, cunning, sorry. You get him at the end of Act 1. You know, he's an interesting storyline there as well. The last companion is a melee tank who needs strength. And total spoilerage, Lord Scourge appeared in the book Revan, and you can't really talk about his storyline without, like, totally spilling the beans on various, you know, story arcs.
Yeah.
As with your Jedi Knight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will say that's not too spoilerific, because it's from a game in the past. There's some touchstoning there from Knights of the Old Republic 2 and the Jedi Exile.
Yes.
Very nice. Love that.
So, moving on to equipment in stats overview. Strength is the primary stat for the Jedi Knight into either advanced class, unless, of course, you are the tank spec guardian, which then moves your primary stat into endurance. So basically going from there, if you start with the easier one with the Sentinel, boost your strength, you're running medium armor. So, of course, boost your strength, there's your primary stat, then you're looking for a lot of critical rating, your surge rating, make any of those lightsaber attacks really potent. And also something to keep in mind is, especially with, for example, to land a lot of successful hits, keep a close eye on your accuracy rating as well. This applies also to ranged classes if you're using a blaster, but one of the things that kind of gets a little glossed over, which I think is really important, especially if you are one of these melee DPS, being the Sentinel or, of course, the Sith Marauder, applies to the same because they're very analogous. Having a really high accuracy, if you get over 100%, it starts affecting your opponent's armor ratings. So all of a sudden now, if you got over 100%, you're cutting into their armor. So now they're losing their defense. And if you're a Jedi Sentinel, you're dicing through their armor, and it just makes you that much more potent if you have also keep an eye on your accuracy. And then for the Guardian, going into the more advanced stats, like pretty much any tank, defense rating, your shield rating and absorption rating, and you just want to be the impenetrable wall. And so kind of like you see in, if you're watching the animated series, The Clone Wars, or watch any of the Jedi fight in the feature films, the prequels, episodes 1, 2, 3, if when the Jedi is leading the fight, they're out front, they're this impenetrable wall, blaster shots can't hit them, and that's essentially your job. So as a tank spec guardian, so you definitely want to get out there and be that impenetrable wall. And if you are a guardian going the damage spec, you want to be similar to the Sentinel, but rather than just being focused on your crit and surge and accuracy, you're going to want to mix in a bit of power in there to make the abilities more potent overall, because remember, because you are the single saber wielder, you're not going to be quite as damage potent as a Sentinel with two sabers and a lot more damage focus, because it is a strict DPS advanced class. So you're going to want the power to just make yourself overall more potent, and then start working in the crit and the surge afterward, just because you need to want to boost that baseline up, then get those crits and surge, and then the armor penetration, and after you've given yourself that initial boost.
And then
moving into those ridiculous iconic moves that everyone will remember.
You have flashbacks galore to all the movies, the Clone Wars. It's Darth Maul. It's Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're like, oh my gosh, I knew when I did that. Saber throwing, force pushing, all these great Jedi side, light side moves. You're like, oh my gosh, I remember that.
Oh yeah.
And for anyone who happens to have the lightsaber form slightly memorized, what you're going to be seeing is the Sorosu form, the defensive form, that if everyone remembers your episode 3, that's the lightsaber form that Obi-Wan Kenobi used when fighting General Grievous. And then, of course, you also have the Shicho, which is, of course, the form of balance, and the Shien form, which is the form of power. That's for the Guardians. And I believe, if you remember, I think it's Jedi Academy, if they don't illustrate it quite as well as they do in the movies and in some other games, but Mark Aragnos was fairly famous for using the Sheehan form, the form of power. For the dual wielders in the Sentinel, you're looking at the Juyo and Otaru forms.
See those with the Darth Maul and Obi-Wan fight during the last battle on Naboo.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the Juyo being the very aggressive form, which is what Darth Maul was using in a very aggressive form, and the Otaru is kind of the very graceful, very movement-oriented form, which is probably one of the reasons why, even though some people kind of have mixed opinions about Episode 1, that fight is still going to stand out because of just how the choreography worked and the basis for those lightsaber forms. And you will see that come out in this game, just literally referencing pieces of music, the saber dance that goes on with the Juyo and Otaru forms.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. There's our Jedi Knight, yes? Any other thoughts?
I think
so.
There it is.
Okay. Nope. Well, then you know what I think that means. It's time to do the Torch Matter.
It's time for some Torch Math, and Nikki's here to go one-on-one on the math segment this week. Nikki, what are we chatting about?
Well, for the math segment today, we have my 12-step hard mode flashpoint and operation preparation guide.
Oh, so I like that.
Preparing you for endgame content.
Nice. All right, now I know that I've kind of gleaned that a lot of the people that watch this show are sort of at end level, so I'm sure this will be great for some of them. Kick it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the 12 steps, any of you who are perhaps familiar with 12-step programs of another kind, no shame here, but for this one, it's just for Star Wars The Old Republic. So first step in hard mode, flashpoint, and operation prep. Finish your storyline and the Corellia story. The reason why? These are great stories. Tor is full of rich content. Don't cheat yourself out of it. So get your class quests finished. Finish your storyline. It's great stuff. You know, don't skip ahead of anything because it's well worth it. Mm. Now, going into step two, you need to get to level 50. And you need that, of course, because that's when you can finally access the dailies, you can access hard modes, and you can access operations. If you're not a 50 and you can get into these things, well, first of all, people will look at you funny because you're in an operation and you're only level 49, 48. If for somehow, by some miracle, you can get in there, which you shouldn't be, but besides the point, I digress. You need to get to level 50 and, like I said, have everything done so you can stay focused in on the call for hard modes and ops. So, step three, check your numbers. Now, before you begin a hard mode or an ops, you want to roughly be at 1200 on your main stat.
Okay.
And keep in mind, with your main stat, it doesn't have to be perfect. If you're at 1196, that's still technically a pass. You're close enough. And usually, one little gear drop or a little tweak and you're there. No big deal. But if you're, you know, you're just barely past 1100, you might want to consider doing something to boost it. Mm. So keep in mind, though, with the main stat, if you're a tank, 1200 is supposed to be your endurance. Don't think because you're bounty hunter, 1200 aim. If you're in all tanking gear, you probably won't quite make it up to 1200 aim, 1200 strength, whatever it is that tends to be the other stat or your secondary if you're a tank. You want to be 1200 endurance. For everybody else, then it's your specific main stat, whether it's aim, willpower, strength, that should be over 1200, so you have enough damage or have enough healing to be able to perform your role successfully and have enough stat power there. So, and basically, once you've hit 1200 main stat, you're done Corellia, you're done your class quest, you can then proceed up all the way to step six in my guide, but we'll still be going through all 12 steps just in case anyone's not there and not quite ready. So proceeding to step four, do some dailies. Daily commendations will get you purple quality of the following items. First of all, relics. You probably don't have the greatest relics going through the game. You might have some good ones, but let's say you're like my bounty hunter and ran neutral, you've got next to no relics. So at the daily commendations vendor, you can get some absolutely amazing relics that you probably don't have yet. You can get some of the Comlink earpieces for quality, so extremely high. Mm-hmm. Again, same with implants. Again, Ricotta quality, double them up, really big stat boost, and chances are you may or may not get even some of the drops in those hard modes and in the raids still might not be as good as what you can get from the daily commendations vendors. So that's a really worthwhile investment to really boost your stats.
Okay.
Also, at some of the at the commendations vendors, you're looking at blaster barrels and lightsaber hilts. Now, these ones are number 23 mods or for your blaster barrel or your lightsaber hilt. And that's basically the highest individual mod you're going to be able to buy at this point. So that's something to really look for. Look for is upgrade your weapon as high as you can get it.
Okay, sure.
Because, of course, your damage output will change with the barrel or with the lightsaber hilt, so that's definitely going to give you your biggest status boost or stat boost and also increase the rating of the weapon in your hand. Mm. So you get that boosted again, moving you further toward hard mode and ops. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing, of course, primarily vanity, but daily commendations also offers you some really fancy tricked out speeders if you want to speed with some guns or something like that.
Okay.
Then on to step 5, trick out your gear. And by tricking out your gear, what you're looking for is essentially what I mentioned in the previous step, but also with some slight additions. You can buy a lot of stuff from those daily commendations vendors. But also, one of the things that will benefit you is if you're a crafter, for example, you can craft armoring and modifications. If you're a cyber tech, get those number 22 enhancements, pretty much, I think, the highest you can craft from the crafting trainer pickups. You can get more with schematic drops, but the highest ones you can probably get through the crafting trainers is the number 22s. I believe it boils down to level 49. Just if you get those, especially modded out with purples, purple quality number 22, that then again gives you a stats edge. If you have orange customizable gear, huge stat boosts, you can just start dropping those armoring and mods in there. Mm. If you are an artificer or you know an artificer, there's enhancements again to go in your orange gear, to go in your weapons, and generally that's just going to overall just boost your stats that much more. Because if you're running with mods, it's say to the 45, 46, you're not quite there, and you find yourself not quite there yet. Dropping a bit of money or getting some of these better item modifications will help. And also, if you don't have any crafters, the heroic missions in the daily areas on Belsavis. And also on Ilum, you can get armoring mods and enhancements from some of those heroics. So basically, if you can't find an artificer or a cybertech, but you can still find an extra person to team up with, these are heroic 2s and 2 pluses, I believe. So what you can then do is run these heroics. One will drop an armoring, the next one other one will drop a modification, and the third one will drop an enhancement. So after just a few days, you can actually have full purple number 22 mods in any of your moddable gear. Great way to boost your stats and be ready. And of course, they're heroic 2s. You know, they're not going to take you a huge amount of time, but they'll definitely offer you that benefit in your stats, and also just generally make your gear that much better. Step 6, go holocron hunting. And this is pretty much where you can pick up if you're already at 1200. Holocron hunting is something I'd recommend even if you are pretty much basically hard mode and hard mode flashpoint and ops ready. Mm-hmm. It's just because it's an extra little bit of stat boost if you're finding the ones towards the end game. They're higher boosts than the ones in the earlier planets. And also, if you can get access to those plus 10 every stat sets of holocrons in the respective Republic and Imperial fleet, all of a sudden now what you've got plus 10 to everything. It's great exercise in team building if you're a member of a guild. And also, it's plus 10 to every stat. That's huge.
Just really.
Something that'll definitely just get you up that much higher, squeak out that little bit of extra damage or healing or tanking toughness. And also, while you're holocron hunting, because You're basically looking for those holocrons. One thing you'll undoubtedly find, if you haven't already found them all already, is matrix shards. And that goes into step number 7 for the matrix cube. Matrix cubes are probably one of the best items you can pick up for your class in the game. Reason being, they're, if then, you know, maybe having to go through a bit of jumping puzzle or waiting for that blasted balloon in the Dune Sea. The matrix cube, once you get one of those built, you're looking at, just for some of the ones I recently come across, it's used roughly plus 50 to 60 main stat, plus 50 to 60 endurance, or, you know, plus 60 endurance and your secondary stat if you're a tank, and then your one of your tertiary stats, being, you know, like defense, critical, power, something, any one of those things like that, by getting 3 identical matrix shards, so like 3 blue, 3 red, get those, go back to your capital city, put those together, and drop, that'll go in your relic slot.
Okay.
Those are a great boost, and even, like I said, even if you are hard mode and ops ready, yeah, get one of those. It's just going to send your stats over the top, because it's going to be really weird having, you know, great quality gear, but having, say, that, you know, 2 relics, maybe one you crafted and one that's bought, or one you found, but, you know, it's not giving, it's maybe just giving you, say, plus 50 endurance, when the matrix cube, not only would it give you that plus 50 endurance, it would give you plus 50 on whatever your other stat is, would it be willpower, strength, and then, of course, the tertiary being, you know, defense or power, one of those things, just way better boost. And yeah, you lose the activatable relic, but I cannot overemphasize how important it is for someone to get a matrix cube. It's just, it's huge for your stats, huge impact.
Okay. And
you'll notice a performance difference in your character.
Okay.
Or idea.
Okay.
To step number 8, know your character. You want to be a well-loyal machine when you're going into hard mode, flashpoints, and operations, because the pressure's on. There's enemies are tough. They're all going to try and kill you, and they're, you know, not going to be polite about doing it. So, just like I said, know your character and consider even doing some of the in-game flashpoints that are still on story mode, things like Directive 7 and the False Emperor. Do those in regular mode, get used to your character, practice it, you know, at in-game where the pressure's on, that's not quite as tough as those hard modes. And especially if you've got a guild, you know, say night before you decide to run a hard mode, run it on regular, or run a False Emperor on regular, just so you can see what it's like. Because, again, to just put the difficulty into perspective, there's an endgame flashpoint, then there's the hard mode flashpoints, and then an operation is just as difficult as those hard mode flashpoints. Mm. And of course, hard mode ops are another step from there, so it's continually stepping up in difficulty. So if you're unsure of yourself, run one of those in-game flashpoints on regular. See if you're ready. If you feel comfortable, then you can take that step up. So, and speaking of taking that step up, step number 9, learning patience. Hard modes and operations are difficult even in story mode. And story mode being especially for operations, because as I said, they are just as difficult as a hard mode. An operation is just as difficult as a hard mode flashpoint. So you don't want to throw your keyboard across the room or put your fist through your monitor just because you died. It's, you know, it's going to be difficult, especially your first run through, even if you're a new guild or learning a new group of players, you're not quite there yet. So it might be an exercise and a little bit of frustration. So learning patience, understand that you're going through something pretty difficult. So, be prepared to show a little patience and stick to it when you get through.
Right, that's good advice right there.
Now, number 10, this is something that everyone should know for the entire game, but I think it bears repeating, because now you're at in-game, this is where a lot of the money is. Learn the proper need or greed etiquette for looting. Mm. This is something that a lot of MMO long-term veterans would definitely be familiar with, but again, if you're new to MMO, you need to learn this, because the last thing you want is an angry veteran hounding you for taking their loot, especially if it's not something you need. So, need a great etiquette. Only click need when it's something your character can use or craft with. So if you're a Sith Inquisitor and you're a sorcerer, like my primary character, a Force Mystics robe, that's something you need. If it's something you don't have yet, it's an improvement. You don't need on a jacket for an Imperial agent, for example. Your companions, they can use those same stats, but you don't need that. The reason being that there are other agents in the group, there are other people with their companions who also need that. Proper etiquette for something like that is greed. Need something you can use, something your character uses, greed for something that's a companion or something that you will turn into cash. It's good respect, and it's also good respect to tell your team, especially if they're pugs, and it's something that you can actually use. It's something that goes right on your character. Just say in your chat window, or if you're using a VoIP program like TeamSpeak, saying, you know, just
I love TeamSpeak.
I need, or that's an improvement. I'm going to need that. And like 99% of the time, everyone's going to be okay with that for you needing it. If somebody else needs it, they'll usually just say, yeah, I need it too. You both click need, and then you roll from there. But if you're just continually hitting need on stuff that you can't use, and if it's for companions and stuff, just generally speaking, you're going to develop a reputation in no time as making loot, and nobody's going to want to play with you. And that's not something you want, because Star Wars is all about, you know, helping the little guy and not being a dick. So,
I like that.
Unless you're the Emperor Palpatine, in which case, you know, Darth Vader's just going to throw you off the bridge anyway.
Yeah, my Sith is a bit of a dick.
Yeah. Well, it's okay in stories. It's just not okay when you're looting with other people. Okay. And speaking of other people, step number 11 is join a guild. If you're not already in one, this will make finding hard mode and ops groups way easier. So that way you're not continually typing in general chat LFG Eternity Vault. Because, you know, so I'm assuming everyone out, and most people out there, you know, they got to go to bed at night, they have a job in the morning, that sort of thing. You don't want to spend half your night looking for the group and then only get halfway through Eternity Vault because, you know, it can take a couple hours, especially on your first run. If you're in a guild, usually they should be event planning, or there's people online. You know, you can just grab seven other people and say, let's run Eternity Vault. We've all been wanting to do it. Let's go do it. Whereas, again, not quite there yet, especially in general chat or the group finder, but group finder's coming in, I believe, patch 1.3, but until such time, join a guild. It's also way better, especially if it's friends, even though they're internet friends, and you can also trust these people a lot more if they're guildies, because, you know, they're a little bit more personable and you have a personal stake in it.
Right.
So, and last step, number 12, two words. Have fun.
Ah, yeah.
This is the endgame content, epic storylines, some really epic battles. Loss management, we've managed to take down Soa at the end of Eternity Vault a number of times now. Recently went through Karaga's Palace and showed a slimy hut who's boss. Got a plan for the new operation, hopefully this coming Sunday. So it's a lot of fun. If you're on the fence as to whether you want to spend the time in or not, if you can set aside the time, you've got some guildies or some friends who want to run it. It's a lot of fun. It's amazing. And it brings me back to one of those few times I actually had fun in some of the other MMOs. So,
right. Good stuff.
Those ops are definitely really well done. Those hard modes are definitely worth the gearing. It's really super fun.
Well, there you have it. Nikki's 12-step program is listed out in the show notes over at jupiterbroadcasting.com. Just look for Torque 7. Nikki, any other thoughts before we sign off?
Just one other quick thought. It's not so much on the on my Flashpoint hard mode in operation guide, but it is something else that I think really bears mentioning. If anyone's been to Tatooine recently, they've noticed that between the fighting, between the Empire and Republic, and then now the recent Rakul outbreak, Tatooine's just been really hit hard, and some of the native species, especially the Sand People and the Jawas, have been hit ridiculously hard by all the fighting and the Rakul outbreak. And one of the biggest problems is a lot of baby Jawas have been orphaned, and unfortunately the various Jawa clans just aren't able to take in all these poor Jawa orphans that have unfortunately been left without their parents, and in some cases left without their clan because of all the fighting and just being caught in the crossfire. So because of that, and seeing some of the hardships that some of these little Jawas have faced, I decided to, let me just grab them here, I adopted my own little baby Jawa.
Ah,
yeah.
That's so adorable. Oh, so you brought him home. Of course, everyone at home could adopt their own baby Jawa, too, if they wanted to use the affiliate ThinkGeek link down at the bottom at JupiterBroadcasting.com. Give a Jawa a home. Oh, man. That's awesome. All right, Nikki. Well, thanks for getting this math. Let's jump into the Torch News.
It's time for the Torch News. The first story goes to Heather, and the question's been asked, what planet would you like to see? What's going on here, Heather?
They've asked it on the forums. James Owen said, hey, what kind of planet do you want? It could be any planet you like, but they have to be fully explorable, like Coruscant, Tatooine, and such. But any other destination is seen as part of a flashpoint or an operation. So it's kind of a general question saying, hey, what do you guys think? What do you guys want? There were some pretty good ideas I'd already seen already on the forum. Hop on over there to put in your idea. In the chat room, somebody suggested Dagobah. Remember, that's not going to be on the list. I'm pretty sure Lucas said, my territory. That's my ball. You can't come play.
Oh, there you have it. All right, well, the next story, you know, maybe isn't quite so happy-go-lucky.
No.
Electronic Arts has reported a drop in the Star Wars The Old Republic subscriber base down to 1.3 million from 1.7 million earlier in February 2012. Okay, what do you guys think? Any first reactions?
My first reaction would just be that the subscriber base is still going to have to settle a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're still reasonably fresh off 1.2. It's had some time to digest, but I mean, there was kind of that initial, some people, of course, really love it. There's also going to be people who are going to rage quit about it. There's like anything with change. So we're going to have to see roughly where it's going to settle out. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be some resubscribes and some new people coming in. Perhaps there are, some the people who came in there and have now left might not necessarily be the biggest Star Wars fans. They're in there because it's an MMO and that's their thing. Those who decided not to stick with it, they're going to, of course, move on. And now we might see a new wave of people coming in, and I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of builds back a little bit and perhaps have some settling at the 1.5 million mark.
Yeah, and after any MMO launch, you'll have, a big wave, and then it'll kind of peter off for a little bit, because everyone wants to try it, and then people kind of want to put it on the back burner, especially, now that not everybody necessarily has that steady, MMO fee that they, $15 a month that they can put forward every month. So maybe they want to hold on, check out some other games, after any big patch, there'll be a little bit of a dip.
But you have Diablo 3 coming out, and I think, Heather, I think you really touched on it. Let's look at the elephant in the room is the $60 entry price, and then the $15 a month, which after tax is like 16-something, 17-something dollars a month, and that is honestly a lot of money to ask. I think a price entry point of $29.99 or $30, and maybe something like $11.99 a month, something like that, might be a little more palatable to a lot of people.
It all depends on what you're going to do with your free time. I mean, do you go to the movies? I don't really go to the movies that often. So it's like one trip to the movies a month.
Right.
And that covers it all, but you're like by myself, I'd have to pay that almost.
Yeah.
So it's all a trade-off, but there might be people holding off, trying out another game. They might come back with their friends. It's hard to tell.
Yeah. I think people will probably come back. What do you think, Nikki?
I think some of these subscribers will come back. And also, I think there's also probably another new wave yet to come in, you know, to let the, because there's always the group of people who are going to let the dust settle. Let's see what happens with the game. Mm-hmm. There's that. And also, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the people who have left, perhaps they have a subscription elsewhere, or they prefer, or they're into a different type of game, or they were simply just moving from the old MMO that's, I would say, is kind of long in the tooth, and they kind of jumped into Tor because it's the new game. There's also, of course, you know, some other new games coming out. They might try those, and they might, and of course, there's the possibility that they'll decide, well, these other new games aren't as good as Star Wars, mm-hmm. so we'll go back to Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were, the reason they, of course, looked for that new game is because old MMO that's been around for a while, it's just not holding the appeal to them anymore. So I think there's still some to come back, and there's also still some people who haven't tried Tor. They've tried Tor and still haven't just picked it up yet. Whereas now Tor's had some time to make itself comfortable in the market, and mm-hmm. given the specials, the way they're pushing Tor, I think there's still going to be a lot of people who have yet to sign up that are going to sign up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nikki,
the first year is going to be a roller coaster.
Yeah. And honestly, the game is a good game, and it's got everything it needs to be a long, successful game. And they're working on the content updates, the end game content updates people want. People will be back. It's a game like this. I just don't see it. I just don't see this being a long term. This is just a launch issue. Really, is how mm-hmm. I see it. Mm-hmm. All right, Nikki, while we stick with you, let's talk about the live community coordinator. There's been some, I guess, this is word from somebody at BioWare about feedback on UI customizations and maybe upcoming features.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They basically said that they're already working in a number of areas based on feedback. That was pretty obvious, especially with UI and how much of the UI changes were based on feedback from players. Mm-hmm. So while they don't have an estimate for all the new feature implementation, they're hoping to keep getting great ideas from various players so that they can keep making those positive changes, because mm-hmm. of course the last thing you want to do is, you know, just not listen to your audience. So well, some companies do a better job of listening than others, but basically they just want to say, you know, they're just trying to say keep those good ideas coming, you know. You can submit something, it's like, this is the problem I'm having, or this is the issue, or this is what we'd like to see, and then give them, you know, good arguments and even a suggested action plan. They're really going to take that into consideration and move it forward. If you're just like, if you know, as usual, if you just go into the forums and say this sucks, they're not going to do anything about it because you just said something sucks. That doesn't help them.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, they're really wanting to just make sure people understand that you got the UI changes are in there because of feedback from you. Keep those ideas coming. And that's also, as we saw, you know, mentioned earlier in the news, what's the next planet you'd like to see? This is all based on mm-hmm. the gamer feedback. So, you know, let your voice be heard. They want to hear it. If you definitely have some good ideas and something to contribute, get them on the forums.
There you go. All right. Well, let's jump on to some tweets. We have I guess this show doesn't have tweet leaks per se, but
no.
We did get a little tease about what's coming from Stephen Reed. He tweets mm-hmm. a super, what is it? Skirt space stuff?
Secret.
Super. Oh, secret spelled very funny.
Yeah.
So kind of a tease about some upcoming space things, mm-hmm. but we didn't get to see any pictures. They just asked just asked what's going on. They said some new space stuff coming up.
Yeah, they're going to barely tease any of this stuff, but it's going to come in the future. They're going to have a revamp of it, of the whole space missions, you know, and how you fly in space and stuff. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to that mm-hmm. big time, big time.
Yeah.
All right. Next story goes to you, Heather.
Yeah, another tweet that we saw is that they're going to be still tweaking the Galactic Trade Network, the GTN. One thing that I read and I hadn't realized is that the Hutt cartel is taking over the whole thing, which means all of the Galactic Trade Networks will be neutral. That's, you know, that's sometime in the future. But I think it'll really help settle the economy. Just flipping from one side to the other, prices can vary completely drastically. I think that'll help kind of. Of course, right at first, all the prices are going to go crazy.
Yeah.
On the trade network.
Yeah.
But then it'll kind of settle out a lot better, I think.
Yeah, That makes sense. All right. Well, that's an interesting development. And, you know, makes sense. All right. Well, the next story is sort of a follow-up to a rumor we touched on last week. Nikki, do you want to take this one?
Mm-hmm. It's just in regards to the rumored buyout of Nexon buying out Electronic Arts. That rumor has just been completely and totally obliterated. Mm-hmm. Basically, all it was is that Nexon was wanting to bring the FIFA online soccer game to the Asian market. So basically, they wanted a game. There's no buyout. Just rumors galore. And all it was just bringing one title to the market. And oddly enough, a completely non-BioWare, non-Star Wars related title. It's, you know, EA Sports, something completely different, and you know, one of those sports titles that gets refreshed every year. It's, you know, absolutely nothing to do with EA per se, mm-hmm, being bought out. It's just moving a title. So anyone who might have been in a panic, you can breathe.
All right. There was a few Q&A questions that came up this week, and we got some answers. And Heather, I think you noted a few here that you thought we should cover on the show.
Yes. The Hut Takeover was mentioned in the Q&A. Also, down leveling with some unique twists. That's where, you know, you're leveling with somebody who's much lower level than you. And, you know, right now you like stare at something or blink at something, you know, and cough and everything within a 20 meter radius is dead when you're trying to help out somebody. So there's going to be some down leveling. They say it's going to be a unique twist too, which also kind of goes along with the whole Star Wars theme of Master and Apprentice.
Right.
They we talked last week about the social gear that you're going to be able to get that will upgrade to whatever weight of gear you have. So you buy it, it'll become heavy, medium, light. Also, the existing gear you have, they've said that, yes, that will adapt as well. So anything you already have, you're going to go in and tank with that slave bikini you bought 2 months ago. You can still do it, and it'll become heavy gear. Should you decide to do that.
Okay.
Also, yes. Somebody asked about speeders, if they could add crystals into those.
Right, the most important story in this entire Q&A.
Yeah, that you could maybe change the underbody glow or a body trim on the speeder, which they said, oh, interesting. We'll probably put that on the list of things that we might think about.
Mm-hmm. Finally.
People want to put rims on their speeders, and female Jedi Guardians and Sith Juggernauts want to tank big scary monsters in slave girl bikinis.
Yes.
Well, I was going to rage quit, but now that I can get some underbody glow, I think I might stick around.
Yep. You can pimp your ride, Star Wars style.
Exactly. All right. Well, now we have, of course, our last topic for the day. And it's not a very exciting one. We're going to be putting the show on hold for now. We're putting it on the shelf, but it doesn't necessarily mean this is the last you heard from us. We're going to kind of look at our approach, and maybe you'll see some more of Torqued in future projects. I've got a few ideas that I've been kicking around, and you just never know. But for right now, we're going to bring the show to an end. But we do want to say very much a thank you to everyone who's joined us and watched the show and sent us in your ideas. Ladies, it's been a blast working with both of you.
Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun.
And hopefully people have enjoyed this show. And of course, keep checking back over at JupiterBroadcasting.com. Down the road, you never know what you'll find over there. But all right, I think that's our whole show.
I think so.
Yep, that's pretty much it. And if anyone does want to stay in touch with some of the staff on the show, there's, of course, the Jupiter Broadcasting contact, Torqued at Jupiter Broadcasting. We might be able to twist Chris's arm to leave his email address open if you want to give us a shout. Or lost-management.com is the Tor Guild that I'm currently running with. If you're new to the game or considering moving from, say, an underpopulated server into a high pop or a higher population one, Lost Management is on the Ebon Hawk. Feel free to stop by lost-management.com, submit a guild application, and feel free to join us in the Old Republic.
Awesome. All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Torqued, and may the Force be with you.